Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. I believe according to now formerly famous frontman / arrested pop star Justin Timberlake, it's gonna be May. That's today. It's the first
couldn't
day.
Couldn't hate me more than that one.
I just found out today that some lady just posted it on Tumblr in 2012 as a joke for a very specific NSYNC group, and it just was taken from there.
Well, that's what happens when the internet gets a hold of it.
Gets a hold of it, indeed.
Yeah, what a fall from grace he's had.
Hey, it's going to ruin the tour. The world tour.
It already I think. Is that tour still happening?
Maybe he got a couple more dates. He was touring at the same time we were 1 year. And we kept we'd go to a town and be like, oh, there's a lot of traffic because Justin Timberlake's in town. He was like just in Raleigh behind us. Like, felt like he was following us at some point. But,
well. The difference between he and I is vast, but one of them is I have not got a DUI before.
There you go. I've never cheated on Jessica Biel either. So.
No, I haven't done that either. I've also never had a world tour or been in a feature film or the front man of a boy band. So
I've not
a
yet
lot of differences.
Been friends with Lance Bass, but I'm open to it. So let us know, Lance.
Lance? I feel of all of them, Lance and I would click the most.
He's the greenest of green lights. So
I think so.
What a lineup we've got of odd but true tales today. Thank you, everybody who takes the time to send these in. And as we see, much like with Patreon submitted bits as well, people say, oh, I heard this, and it spurred this inside of me, and we had a couple of those today. So maybe this will spurn something for you all. As you listen,
let it spurn away. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Steph and is called When a Community Turns on You. Content warning, this discusses school shooting and suicide. Steph writes, good morning, ladies. I wanted to share this story as an outlet of what I'm feeling. This past Monday, April 20th, there was a shooting at the school in my town. I do not go to this school. My daughter does not attend school yet. She's only 2 and stays with me during the day. And I don't know anyone who does go to this school. But it's bringing out the absolute worst in people. It happened at the high school about 5 minutes from my house. Apparently, a senior was memorializing Columbine and brought a gun to school. No one knows of her true intentions, but according to reports, at dismissal in the cafeteria, she took out the gun, placed it to her own head, and fired. I read that an officer stationed at the school witnessed her pull out the gun and pulled his out as well. She noticed him do so, got scared, and turned the gun on herself. Unfortunately, the only person who knows what she was going to do is her. The part I'm mostly struggling with is the community. I'm part of our community's Facebook group, and the amount of posts and comments about this subject is appalling. They aren't banding together like a community should. They're bashing the girl and her family, making rude, mean, bullying comments about it all. We don't know what her mental health was like. We don't know her home life. There have been posts bashing the parents for not noticing her struggle. Unfortunately, a lot of people hide their struggles, and you never know it. I had fought with depression and suicidal thoughts when I was in high school, and my parents never knew. And a lot of students who attend this school are seeing the posts. Kids who witnessed what happened are pleading with the adults to, quite frankly, knock it off. and then they turn on the kids who are suffering from what happened. Apparently, there was a board meeting last night. I guess people were trying to bring up safety and installing metal detectors, and the board kept throwing these people out. I wasn't there. This is all hearsay. I'm just so disappointed in these people's reactions and comments. I knew you ladies would understand. We need to be better people to others, more caring, to understand and help mental illness, to get rid of bullying, which I don't know about other places, but seems to be especially bad around here. Or maybe it's just the time. I don't know. I feel like we all need to be more understanding that people go through things we can't see or understand. We all do, and we need to give each other grace. I'm going to attach one of the news articles. There are so many out there. You really just need to Google Valley Forge High School in Parma, Ohio, and it will come up. I pray for the day when these school shootings cease. I pray it's before my daughter goes to school. Unfortunately, I don't see it happening. I hope you ladies have a wonderful day, and thank you for being an outlet for so many people, including myself. Keep it creepy, Steph.
Oh, Steph, I am so sorry.
Man, Steph. Steph did not title it and said, we all come up with a title, and I toyed around with it, and I was like, what this, at the end of the day, says to me is, this community has turned on a young girl that was obviously struggling with her mental health. And instead of being someone that her parents can turn to, that the children that witnessed this atrocity and the adults that witnessed this can turn to, it just becomes this political bipartisan debate online where all of a sudden you're arguing with teenagers that witnessed somebody kill themselves and throwing people out of a school board meeting because they bring up some guidelines you might have. Like, what are we doing as a society?
Yeah, and seeing people respond with such a knowing attitude of like, well, I know what went wrong. Those parents suck. Like, I know they could have seen signs. I know that. And you don't. You don't know these people. You don't know what it was mm-hmm. like. And about 2-3 weeks ago, there was an incredibly heart-wrenching article on CNN. They did a really deep dive into the TCC, the true crime community. Have you heard of this?
No.
It is an online network of mostly young girls, but it is like 50-50, you know, when they look at the actual numbers, but the loudest members seem to be young girls who are in unregulated spaces, including what we've talked about before, whether it's Roblox, Discord, TikTok, where they are glorifying and obsessing over Columbine shooters, specific Dylan and Eric are their obsessions. There are multiple parents interviewed by CNN whose children died by suicide, who beforehand the kids would mention, one of the girls goes, Mom, will you make me a shirt that says natural selection? And will you make me another shirt that says wrath? And the mom's got a Cricut machine's like, okay, yeah, whatever. It was not until her daughter was killed and they found Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold like love notes and hearts and stuff in her locker that the mother realized those are the shirts that they wore during the shooting at Columbine. And there's, you know, these like drawings that say the girl's name with Klebold after it, you know, like you would Justin Timberlake, you know, but it's these non-celebrities, right? These killers, and they are radicalizing these kids because it's like curiosity. And then these it sort of reframes what happened at Columbine into saying, oh, well, the shooters were actually not bad guys gleefully shooting up. They were sad and they needed friends and connections. And that's what we have. We're this friend and connection that ultimately lures in tween age kids, girls, and has them fixate on the Columbine shooters. And sadly, teaches them or like lies to them and tells them the only way to get out of this is to die by suicide. And that's happened multiple times. So it's something they said, I think they've 24 or 25 incidents, either actual attacks at a school, kids dying by suicide, or disrupted plots of kids in this community.
I had not heard of that. My mind is spinning. This is something that I think happens a lot. And it's geared towards more of that YA thing. I've seen it in TV shows, specifically that series, I think it was called 13 Reasons, which ended up becoming like a meme for reasons to kill yourself. But in that show, it romanticized suicide so much to the point where, you know, people are like going back through the girl who dies by suicides tapes and stuff and like remembering her and her crushes and her, you know, it shows like her ghost and people figuring this out. I'm like, none of that happens, you guys. Mm-mm. None of that happens. Your parents are devastated. Mm-hmm. Your friends are devastated. And whatever you did, nothing, like, don't ever make a permanent decision on a temporary situation, even if that situation feels life-ending. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, in the show, she was raped. She, you know, struggled with addictions and lack of friends. She's in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, if we get those kids help, mm-hmm. instead of just online forums are created to like encourage this, then you'll see the numbers go down instead of up. And it's so disturbing that this is especially targeted to women or to young girls, it seems like.
Yeah. And two girls, Audrey is one of the girls that died by suicide that had written like in her locker, like, I love them and stuff. Her family believes that she got involved in this because at age 8, she was on Roblox and was lured into connecting people privately on Discord, on TikTok, et cetera. And another girl named Liliana talked with CNN, and she's, I think she's 18 or 19 now, and has distanced herself from the community and wanted to say, I was part of this. This is how I got in. And Liliana said she was like 9 years old. She saw a video that romanticized Klebold, and she said, oh, I thought he was kind of cute. And so began emulating them. And they had psychologists being interviewed in the article that were like, it's a natural thing for kids to find a person that they want to emulate, fixate on them. It's just vital that it's not a killer. And I remembered when I was a teenager, when I was like 12 or 13, I got so obsessed with Trey Parker. I wanted to watch everything he watched. I love South Park. I watched every movie. He would say, I really liked this TV show from the 70s. I would like go find a tape of it. And like at no point was he then like, and take up arms and kill people. And thank God I was open about it with my parents. But a lot of these parents are like, we had no idea they were into this, because I had to ask my mom, like, hey, take me to the store and let me go get Monty Python's Flying Circus. These kids are like, well, I'll just type it in. So it's like, you just type in you don't have to tell anybody.
You have to have parental controls.
I guess so.
And all your shit. And take an active role in your kid's life. If your kid is 8 and you don't know they're on Roblox, mm-hmm. I mean, that's on you. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Ella's 8. If she has access, she doesn't even have access to the internet.
Yeah.
Say she did. You think we're not going to know all the fucking rooms she's in and lock everything down as best we can and mm-hmm. look at browsing history and stuff? If your kid asks you to make a shirt and you're like, that's weird, I don't really know what this means, take a quick Google.
Google it. And that's what the woman said.
And see why, like, what this fucking is even talking about.
And she said, I could not believe I didn't search it beforehand. She said, I thought it was like some like kid slang and I just didn't even know. And she's warning parents now, like the daughter's Instagram account was called Murders and Acquisitions and had pictures of a gun pointed at her head in her bedroom, had pictures
and
of
and they didn't see this?
Apparently, you know, like I said,
and
perhaps.
I mean, I guess.
Or consider it or did not consider it, I think, is the concern. They're like, it's, you know, they're going through a phase or whatever. Or going,
no,
what's
no,
that
no,
shrine
no,
for?
No, no.
And not understanding it's a shrine for. And I believe the school had taken a photo of her in a t-shirt, one of those t-shirts or a Columbine t-shirt, that it's, again, it's like something that seems kind of small that you go, well, that's weird that this 12-year-old or this 13-year-old mentioned Columbine. Stop them. That mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, it's not just some weird, it's become like borderline. It went from being like a meme, I feel like people on 4chan would be like, oh yeah, they're so cool, almost like it's so based, to where people genuinely wanted to emulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And maybe I'm turning on people too, because but I think the difference with Steph's submission and what like we're talking about is these are parents that had no connection to this girl who's judging their parents.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, like, if you find out your kid is 8 years old and is on Roblox, you got to step in and shut that down. If your kid at any time mentions Columbine, that's let's go to the kitchen table and sit down and talk about this moment. Like, what do you know about it? What, you know, finding out, like, how they feel about things, why they feel those ways, having mm-hmm. hard conversations. But like you said, when you were that age, your mom had to take you to like Blockbuster. Now you just ask S-I-R-I, I'm not trying to set everybody's off, or Google or something, and like the whole world is there for them. Mm-hmm, or you got a bunch of kids at school that have access to the internet in ways your kids don't, and they go over to their house and they see shit.
Yeah. And yeah, and to clarify, the Shrine and the Instagram and stuff was this young lady at Valley Forge High School. And so, yeah, it's when you're looking in retrospect going, oh, my God, she had a shrine to the Columbine shooters. That's not
at her home,
or maybe in her locker, or maybe in like a locket on her neck. And
I mean, my goodness gracious. Yeah.
So it's these things where it's like not. You want to support your kids in whatever weird thing they're into, unless it is the Columbine shooters, in which case, you know, it's hard. And so, and Godspeed to her parents, because the lady, the woman who was interviewed by CNN, whose daughter died by suicide, was understandably completely wrecked, devastated, yeah. But also kept saying like, do not be like me. Oh my God. I cannot believe I did not search this. Oh my God. So, you know, she can't go back now, of course, but I think she's willingly talking about it to go like, mm-hmm. This doesn't happen in a vacuum. And to all these people talking shit on Facebook, they sound like idiots because they're like, oh, these parents suck. They're not. It's like, you don't understand. This is like an online academy that is now targeting your children. Like, you all should be discussing, oh shit, is my kid a part of this? Not mm-hmm. Look at those losers who couldn't even take care of their own kid. And I think people do that and try to separate themselves and go, well, I would never do that, because you don't want to think it could be you. But it's like, this lady was like, I didn't think it could be me either. She asked me to make a t-shirt. Like,
you know who else didn't think it could be them? Or the parents of
Sue Klebold.
That have spent their lives trying to speak about what their sons did. Mm-hmm. And as much as it ripped apart all of the victims' families, it ripped apart their families too. And oh, yeah. They have chosen to go out and educate people. Like, these are the signs we missed. Here they are. So hopefully you don't miss them too. Instead of judging these parents that missed her, which mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of have in this episode too, because I wasn't aware that like her Instagram had her holding a gun to her head. I don't know how that's even allowed by Instagram. It seems like that would have gotten flagged.
Yeah.
But you got to know what your kids' socials are. You know, check their phones and shit. It's, I don't know. Just spinning.
No, I mean, you're totally right. Because, I mean, Roblox was like, oh, no, we have a safety system. We have AI-powered detection. We have monitoring. We have user reporting. And it's like, so does ChatGPT. And the Tumblr Ridge shooter used that to plan the Tumblr Ridge shooting. The FSU shooter used that it like 3 minutes before the shooting to ask mm-hmm. how to unload a gun. So we as a society have to demand you don't have privacy when you're on an app. Your kids, you don't. None of us do. They just want to use it to sell you stuff. Arguably, if you have the data and it can be used, you should use it to help people and not just make money. So, yeah. but they won't. So we have to make them twist their arm behind their back.
There's also I don't know, flagged words that get sent to supposedly the FBI and shit that should shut these things down. So how did none of that happen? You have 25 girls that have taken their own lives because of a Facebook or an online group that's memorializing the Columbine killers, and no one has been flagged in a 3-letter agency.
And that's what's scary about it too, is that like, and not only are they all suicides, some are suicides, some are like, they brought a gun to school, shot a couple people at school, whether they injured them or were successful, and either, you know, shot themselves or, you know, died from an authority or whatever. So it's a lot of these cases where it's not a vacuum. I feel like you're right. Mm-hmm. I feel like the FBI or some agency that collects, you know, cross jurisdictional data should go, oh shit, like this is obviously, and I can't remember, one of the experts in the CNN article said essentially it's like a headless cult. It's like a cult with no leader, but there's these group norms and pressures that sort of push along behaviors. And so I think the folks on this Facebook group are living in a vacuum and quite frankly are ignorant, and it's dangerous for them to go, look at this one weird girl in our town who liked Columbine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog, she ain't the only one. And she didn't think of that on her own. Kids don't think of stuff on their own. Ask me how I know. I was a kid. I wanted to monkey see, monkey do, you know, people that I liked. And thankfully it was nerdy stuff, you know?
And the leaders of this cult, if they were alive, but they're not. So they're like worshiping people that also died by suicide. Unless what I honestly, I don't remember if the Columbine shooters died by suicide or from the cops.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
My other question is, how do all these girls have access to a firearm?
And that, yes. And that's the other thing is people are not locking down their firearms. They're not keeping them in a secured. I mean, there's just no excuse. If you go to Shields, you know, or Dig, whatever, that wherever place you find like a sporting goods store like that, Shields has like four aisles of gun safes of all sizes, down like this small enough to be. And if they could pick it up, you know, if it's the size of a laptop, that's a gun safe, they could pick it up as long as they can't unlock it. They could, you know, they could do the same amount of damage.
You can make it your fingerprint.
Yeah, exactly. Make it your fingerprint or like a completely random four-digit number and not like, well, it'll be my birthday. It's like, well, they'll guess that. So,
and that is when I will turn to the parents. And I mean, now we're seeing like legislation and them getting brought up on charges because you're like, y'all are complicit. Mm-hmm. You didn't lock these guns up and your 15-year-old took them to school and shot up his class.
Especially if the 15-year-old, like the Michigan shooter, had written a little, drawn little pictures of like, I can't wait to shoot my classmates. And the parents are like, well, here's a handgun. Once you have this, why don't you go ahead and put it in your backpack? Yeah. I mean, they were not that overt about it, but they may as well have been. And that is why they were also charged, I think.
They did give him, if that's what I'm thinking of, like on his birthday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And You got to talk to your kids and let them know, like, you're a safe place to go to, like, what's going on. Because otherwise they are on the online groups getting the support that they think they want, but it's because they're struggling in ways they can't even vocalize or express.
Yeah, and that's what the experts all say. Like, it is, they're looking for acceptance. They want to be, have a community. They want to be valued. And this is just a really weird, fucked up, sad way that lies to you and tells you, like, this is the answer. Yeah. So it's like,
the boards that will support eating disorders and tell you how to do it and
or
stuff
drugs.
Like that.
Yeah. Clavicular telling people, you know, microdose meth, it's okay if it's in small amounts. And you're like, well, until you overdose on a stream live. Yeah. So, man, well, thank you, Steph, for writing this in, and bless the parents of that poor girl and that girl for getting, you know, sucked into something that I think your brain's not developed enough to appreciate what you're doing. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
A quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later, ask questions, never. It's part of what makes them so lovable, but it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses, so when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The plans are customizable to fit your budget and your pet's quirks, and it's been around nearly 20 years, helping almost a million pets. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/creepy. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/creepy. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/AmazonTerms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Well, this next one's from Jenny and is called When the Cult You Escaped Takes Over the Government. Content warning, this mentions domestic violence and religious abuse. Jenny writes, hello, co-host. After a week of extreme triggers for all of us who have lived through war in the Middle East before, I found myself really struggling. I was dissociating and unable to sleep. I couldn't figure out why I felt so intensely triggered by the situation in Iran. I mean, I am someone who doesn't believe in war or the unnecessary loss of any human life, but it was deeper than that. I was only able to pinpoint it when I started seeing discourse on threads about a, quote, holy war, that the Christian nationalists were calling this the trigger of Armageddon, and then hearing about hundreds of complaints from service members who were being told that they shouldn't be afraid of being deployed because the POTUS had been, quote, anointed by Jesus, and this was a holy war that was foretold. And then to see members of our own government publicly and with sincerity tell the American people that this war was God's plan while simultaneously calling Islam oppressive and evil. It was only then that I understood where this deep well of trauma had bubbled up from. The cult I escaped has taken over the American government. I grew up evangelical Christian. I suffered immense religious abuses. I left a marriage to an abusive pastor. He used his position in our church to abuse me further. At 23, I started the process of deconstruction and am now nearly 10 years removed from all of the trauma that religion caused. But throughout my life, I was taught that we should support Israel and all they do, because their victory would be the path to our ultimate salvation, the end of times, the return of Jesus. That war was inevitable, and we should embrace it. So to hear the exact same rhetoric coming from the highest offices in the nation brought it all flooding back, and I just didn't know how to process all of it without a complete breakdown. This afternoon, I walked into therapy and I tearfully recalled my religious abuses. I told her that I didn't know why all of this was causing me to regress so deeply, despite all of the work I'd done. I told her, if you grew up in Synanon, escaped, and then Synanon took over the government, that's where I'm at. She was sympathetic and validating and helped me realize that I was safe and I was away from it, and that I had every right to feel like my abusers were coming after me again. Because, in essence, they are. They're coming for anyone who doesn't think like them. I wanted to talk about this experience because I realized there must be more people like me. There must be others who have escaped this world and are now feeling unsafe and scared. To them, I would say, don't let them scare you into silence. They used fear and violence and propaganda to keep us in line, and the playbook hasn't changed. You got away. You did it. And don't ever have to listen to them again. You are safe. You are loved. You are not alone. Just because they scream the loudest doesn't make them right. Don't let them dull your shine or silence your voices. We were the ones in the room. We were the ones who memorized the words. We are the ones who know the truth. And we are the ones who will ultimately be the witnesses to the atrocities of fundamentalism. But it doesn't fall on you to save the world. Please keep yourself safe, healthy, and disengage whenever you need to without guilt or shame. We are the children of Eden who were thrown out of the weed-infested garden. We can and will create precious gardens of our own.
Well, that's a very beautiful way to end that. And it I would is. Also like to validate that it is exactly like if the leader of Synanon took over, because it's a loud, drug-addled, blowhard pervert who screams all the time and thinks screaming is a way to solve problems. Yeah. So look at these pictures. They're the same.
They're the same
Trump
picture.
And Synanon guy. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Except
you're
for
not
Synanon,
wrong.
Help people get off of drugs. So
yeah, you're not wrong, Jenny. It is, I think we've seen even from other people that have written in, like, this is very triggering in a lot of ways, because you got the coked up Hegseth just yelling about how this is, he's anointed by God. He's we've never had a better leader, just refusing to answer questions, changing the name to the Department of War. Like, all of these things are violent, abusive tactics that the cult, the cults, the government, maybe they're the same thing, used to keep people in line and under their thumb. Because the more scared you are, the more likely you are to just follow people blindly into the night.
I want to give up your rights to say, yes, I'm okay with this FISA law that was just passed by, I think, 42, 45 Democrats voted for it yesterday, that allows warrantless searches of our electronic communication. That, you know, they re-up them saying, like, oh, you've got to. It's got to keep us safe. It's got to keep us safe. It's got to keep us safe. And they, like, fear-monger you into a corner of, okay, I'll just give you all my rights, okay? Mm-hmm. I just want to be safe. But I think you're right to point this out as a death cult, because that's truly really what it is. Like, it's a, if you look at the doctor or the John Olalich, like, list of what makes a cult or the bite model or all that, there's all of those, are the boxes are ticked. And also, it ends in mass death. Yeah. I mean, tell me that's not a death cult, that they're saying like, we need to kill this mass amount of people in order to bring on whatever religious thing that we believe in or whatever. So hopefully the aliens will come down with their plasma orbs and stop them all first. But, you know, like it's an interesting juxtaposition. You're right, I think, to classify the Muslim, you know, Muslims and the Islamic faith as like this horrific, violent thing when it's like, I mean, there's, it's not all Muslims, just like it's not all Christians, but it is some Christians too. Yeah. Like, it's like, it is some also atheists or whatever, you know, it's like, there are people that are religiously fundamental and that their hats and their books are different, but they're on the same bullshit, in my opinion, trying to kill people.
And if you're going to criticize one for doing the same stuff you do, just to a different God, then, I mean.
Listen to yourself, yeah.
You sound like a fucking idiot, but I don't know, man. Organized religion is just really tearing this whole country apart.
It does seem to be, you know, it's when somebody pledges allegiance to something above and beyond the humanity for the people around you, like any belief system, whether it's political or religious, that allows you to dehumanize another living being next to you and allows you to tell yourself that it's okay to kill a kid, hurt a kid, kill a kid. That's a slippery slope because the kids,
school of kids,
you know, exactly. So it's a slippery slope of being okay with one and then more and then more and then more. And then all of a sudden it's 60,000 people are gone, you know, or whatever. So, and there's so many genocides kind of going on. It's like hard to keep up, but it is, I think there is a new line that's emerging that it's not like, well, we're one religion on one side and a different religion on the other side. It's like on this side of the line, you can be any religion you want. You just can't be like a crazy murderous child abuser.
Yeah.
So whatever you want to believe, that's fine. But the line is crazy murderous child abuser. And the I'm on this side of the line. So you tell me what side of the line you're on. And like I said, you can believe whatever you want as long as you don't hurt nobody on this side of the line and you're not a crazy murderous child abuser. So which side are we on?
Vote for a crazy murderous child abuser and think that like, well, I don't do it. So, you know, or
we don't support that.
I am just floored over this recent Trump derangement syndrome classification. Like he's trying to get it classified like as an actual mental illness. And it's just like
legal filings.
If people were going to see the light, I think they would have by now, with so much that's gone on with this administration. If you still pledge allegiance to him and what's going on, I can't help you, man. There's so much shit now that shows you like how wrong it all is. And if you want to not believe it and continue voting for him, then, you know, that's on you because he doesn't give a shit about you, not even the littlest of bits.
No, just the ballroom. So, well, we'll have the ballroom soon, and maybe he'll go on in there, and that'll be the last place he goes.
Maybe.
Crawl like an animal into a hole.
I'm really on one today because gestures around the world, it's like every day, it's something that's just like, how did we get to this? How did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's why I've been like reflecting on childhood and teenage years with this like sadness that time has gone.
Mm-hmm.
That time of like, not just time, the way the world was then has gone and is not coming back. And so it's really hard to be like, damn, remember when we were kids and we did XYZ and that was super fun and pretty, you know, harmless? And like our kids don't have that luxury.
Right. Until we start having people that go like, you know what? I'm going to start a video rental store in my town. Like I am going to start a bookstore in my town and you can borrow books if you need to. Or I'm, you know, a community place, a third space where people feel like they can get together and have those like, you know, when to some extent, sometimes libraries can be that. But, you know, in the evening and stuff, just having a place where you go, you don't have to feel like you have to financially justify your existence and really can like come as a, you know, come together as a community. But I want to get rid of my car and I don't want a new one because they're putting cameras and trackers and all kinds of shit in them. And I'm not fitting to have that to happen to me. And I want to get a 90s Jeep. And I also am like, and I want to get a pouch that I just keep my phone in while I drive around, and I'm going to print directions off from the computer when I go, or draw a map for myself, and I'm going to listen to CDs, and then nobody gets to know where I'm going or what I'm listening to, or if I'm talking to myself in the car, and if I am, what I'm saying or whatever, because that's what's happening right now. By the way, they're listening to all of it all the time, constantly, including as I sit here with my phone pointed at my face. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. But you and I actually have, we did our experiment with our, I haven't gotten ads yet.
I haven't either.
We were trying to yell a weird country that neither of us have been to, but it probably heard us talking in the front. And this is, it's a test. We don't need to give them ads. They said they were fucking around, you know, like at some point, is it getting too smart? So I may die a dinosaur, but I am trying to bring back as many things from my younger days that I do of, like, you know, stuff that's more offline, to where anything that it's getting, collecting data about me is getting to where it's pissing me off. So it's a long road between me and getting rid of my Whoop band. But for now, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because that's fine. I'm nothing to hide. But I mean, physically, like the stuff.
But
to
it's
sell
still
me stuff
getting all your data it and is, using it.
I just need to. I'm gonna wait till I get really jacked, and then I'm gonna throw it away, because I'm like, okay, I just needed it to get. Recomp my muscles.
But if you can go back in time with a car,
yeah,
how would you have tracked that before Whoop?
Just, I do have a journal. I have to get a journal. All right, we're going.
But also, the car you have right now can't do any of that because it's not a 2027. So
no,
my concern is if I get a car from the 90s, one, how that's going to be a whole thing if it breaks down to repair, because it's forever old. And then, like,
I'm gonna have
okay, you take it to get it repaired, and they're like, well, we also will be adding this feature because it's now government mandated.
That is when I'm gonna have to drive away into the woods. So we'll put a pin in that. But it's hard, man. You're right. It's hard to feel like we live in a completely different world, which we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do. We weren't tethered to anything kind of back in the day. We had a computer room that we went to, and then we just left and just did whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And we're detached. Yep. So who knows? Maybe we'll get back there again.
We're so much more present in conversations because we weren't on our phones.
He's looking around.
Yeah. Like, I mean, forming relationships and being able to talk to people, like we had those experiences and practice that just kids don't really have now, because they're always in their phones.
It's a different experience, and crunched over shoulders because we're hunkered over looking down. Yeah, so watch out for that. But thank you for sharing all these feelings, Jenny. I feel like you're very valid in exactly, literally what you phrased is exactly what happened. It is a cult. You did escape, and now it's taken over the government. And what a thing to sit with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But bless you for the work you're doing and for the positivity you ended that with. Let us make our own gardens. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, speaking of a different time, this next one is from Suzanne and is called Survivor, hashtag Me Too, and Legal Recourse. Suzanne writes, hello, ladies. I'm so glad for you both in general, and because I don't know who else would appreciate this story. I got a nasty bug that laid me up for about 2 weeks. While my brain was on infection patrol, I watched old episodes of shows, including Survivor Season 8, All-Stars, from 2004. I suggest that before you read the rest of this, you go back and watch episodes 5 from about 21 minutes and episode 6 to about 28 minutes and reactions from 36 minutes. Suzanne, I've got you. I've seen this and I'm very, very well attuned to what happened. Suzanne continues, to sum up, while on a balance beam challenge where people had to pass each other in very close proximity, not only was one survivor, Richard Hatch, allowed to compete naked, but he also rubbed himself, the front of himself, against another survivor, Sue Hawk. This had a traumatic effect on her, and she left the game in the next episode, not before reading Jeff Probst's The Riot Act. Thank you very much. Watching this in 2026, I found the incident itself appalling, but more appalling were the callous reactions of Probst and the other survivors. calling her an angry woman and saying, I don't like her for it, or this is just her own greed. One survivor on the other team told Sue she was sorry this happened to her. And one survivor on Sue's team said that the reactions, including the Sue's Gone dance, were, quote, crummy. I wonder how they feel about it now. My question is this. This happened in Panama. What legal remedy would Sue have in this case? Myself, I hope that Sue is well and that CBS settled with her for about $1 billion. Thanks for reading, Suzanne. Oh, I could not remember this more. I think about this maybe once a week.
You're a survivor expert. Why was he naked?
This is the question.
Why was he
okay.
naked?
So
Why
this was season 8. What I will say now is, like Jeff Probst has said since the early seasons, and one of the things people like the most about Survivor is that it's like a microcosm of the bigger world. In 2004, It was like he just literally stripped down. He was the winner of the very first Survivor.
I didn't know that.
He got invited back for season 8. After this episode, he was never invited back again.
Yeah, good.
And he also got arrested a few years later for child abuse, for forcing his 9-year-old son to exercise.
Ugh.
And then he got in trouble for a lot of financial stuff. He's a terrible person. And I remember watching this in real time, and he would just strip down on the beach because he was just wanted to be free. And I believe he may have been one of the first openly homosexual contestants, which I think that was one reason he thought he could get away with it.
Mm.
I'm gay, so these women aren't gonna, I'm not a threat kind of attitude. I distinctly remember him and Sue Hawk crossing on this balance beam. He stops and gyrates on her to be funny. Mm-hmm. And because she's so uncomfortable and doesn't know what to do, so many of us have been in a moment like that where you're just frozen, not to mention you're on a game show in the fucking Panama, there's cameras everywhere. So she kind of laughs it off. And then once she later starts to really think about it, she's like, that was traumatic.
Yeah.
I was assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And no one except that one person on the other tribe agreed with her.
Mm-mm.
You're overreacting. It's not that big of a deal. That's just Richard. That's just what he does. And the next day, she, before a challenge, was like, Jeff, I got something to say.
Fuck
I'm
you.
Leaving the mm-hmm. show. This is why. You did nothing to help me, which mm-hmm. he didn't.
Yeah.
And then a boat came and got her and she left. And
I
they
mean,
did do a Sue's Gone dance because her tribe didn't really like her because she, to them, was, loud, outspoken. Think about that. She's sexually assaulted on national TV, and then her tribe, which consists of men and women, do a little happy dance that she decided to leave because of it.
They're like, let's all dance that this woman, finally, I'm glad someone sexually violated her so that we could have her leave. It was my understanding that Probst gave contestants specific instructions about which beam they had to go down. So her shortest route, she kind of almost say that they made her, but it was like the shortest, best route she would have to go by him.
Mm-hmm.
And other people passed him, and he did not gyrate or weenie jiggle on any of them. So it did seem like it was pointed. But to your question, Suzanne, Panama law, sexual abuse, that's, you're touching someone without their consent, or sexual battery would be what we would call it in the U.S. I think the strongest claim you would have would be CBS, because from all manner, and Mark Burnett Productions, whoever's in charge of Survivor, because when you sign on to say, I'm willing to do Survivor, I'm sure the agreement's you might have to eat a bug, you might have to sleep outside, but they're not and this guy might rub his penis on you in an otherwise unrelated situation, and it would not be contemplable that if you agreed to the former that you were tacitly agreeing to the latter of I knew I would eat a bug, but I would never expect this fucking guy to come rub his dick on me. And so negligent supervision, if their producers didn't step in and go, hey, whoa, 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 we can't be doing that. Or, I mean, I wouldn't put Jeff Probst necessarily on the hook, although he did sort of just stand there. And he later said, like, that's nuts. We would never do that to that. You know, it was a different time, yada, yada. But at the same time, like, I would say go sue them for everything you've, you know, for everything they've got. Well, when I looked this up, she did not.
I believe they settled.
Nope. She said,
really?
I thought about it. The last I heard was she said, I thought about it. She asked, TV Guide said, you threatened a potential lawsuit. Have you decided against it? She said, I thought about it. I seriously contemplated it. But then when CBS and Mark Burnett got me and Richard to come together to hash it out and talk, and I was able to work through it. The whole incident was so traumatizing and so emotionally draining on me that I just couldn't see putting myself or my family through it. Again, my mental state of mind is more important than a money amount. And TV Guide specifically said, did CBS pay you a settlement out of court? And she said, no, we just talked through it. But TV Guide said CBS would not confirm or deny if some sort of money was paid. So, you know, a settlement, there was just no lawsuit. I'm sure when they came together to talk, yeah, part of it was like, but she made it sound like, oh, we just worked it out. And I do wonder in a situation like this, where if you are a professional reality guest, you don't want to be the litigious reality guest.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it's right to do, but.
I feel like the second he took his clothes off, the producer should have stepped in and been like, nah, get your fucking shorts back on. Nobody wants to see this. And it was constant. I mean, They had to blur it out all the time. He was just naked running around. So, like, would they allow that now? Absolutely not. I was reading a thing earlier about the most memorable seasons, because this was one. And the next most memorable one, I can't remember what, season 34 maybe, but it was the first time that they removed a contestant from the show inappropriate physical contact with another survivor.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm sure this probably had some bearing on it, or was this?
Yeah, probably.
Because this would have been before that. That CBS is like, we can't have that again. Uh-oh. But it
ain't like he says, it all changes. Like in 2004 mm-hmm. is a totally different time than now.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's like, you can't, what do you even do if you're on camera and you're literally trapped on an island? It's called Survivor. No, I think you're right. Like, there's a certain element to even the nudity at the beginning. Like, they should have drawn the line earlier. I looked up some quotes from Richard Hatch because I was curious what he said. At the time, he said, I'm sorry she feels this way, which is a non-apology. No. He said, I'm sorry it's been so emotional for her.
Apology.
No, not at all. And then later in 2019, he basically, without saying, fuck that lady, he said, she concocted the story. He said that CBS...
Bitch, I saw it with my own eyes. Don't tell me she concocted the story.
He said CBS was responsible for a, quote, edited perspective that viewers saw. And he claimed that Sue had wanted to extort CBS even before that started. So I guess, you know, he thought he was doing her a favor, maybe. I don't know.
This guy's such a shithead. He's not even allowed back on Survivor anymore. So
one person has been banned, and it's you, buddy.
Yeah. And so, like, knowing that, how could you believe anything that comes out of his stupid mouth?
No, but I'm sorry you're not feeling well, Suzanne. I hope you're feeling better now, but thank you for letting your curiosity set us a light on this. And yeah, Richard Hatch, keep your fucking pants on, dog.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Tommy,
all that money, you can't afford clothes.
Tommy will occasionally, just like if he's doing housework, turn on old episodes. And this was the season with Boston Rob and Amber, I believe, are on this season. I think Amber won it going up against Boston Rob, who later at the finale, he proposed to her, and now they have four kids. So something good came from it. But Tommy would be like, dude, the stuff people were saying on this, like, this
crazy
would never stand today. And it's like, yeah, because it's a reflection of, like, what the world is like. 2004, people said stuff that they wouldn't say now.
Oh, yeah. If a lady got sexually abused, everybody would be like, you're being a crybaby. Yeah. He just rubbed his dick on you. Just get over it. And now
he's
gay.
It doesn't even matter.
I'll drown you in the ocean. When I said Richard Hatch was naked and you were like, sometimes when Tommy's just doing housework, I was like, he walks around in the nude. Hold on.
Never. Our kids are here way too often.
I guess that's true. That's true. It's only during the school day when everyone's gone.
Yeah. Then he strips down and still watches Survivor while folding laundry.
He calls it Richard Hatching. So. Well, thank you, Suzanne. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, this next one is from Grace, and the subject line is Fat Naked Man. To my sinister compadres, again, thank you for your unwavering support to your fans. Keep doing the great job you do so well. I'm writing this in response to the many responses you've had regarding those that have been victimized but felt they weren't because there was no physical injury. I am a retired nurse and worked in the ER for over 30 years. I'm fully aware of the trauma that can be sustained emotionally, not just physically. I've taken care of so many people that have latent trauma due to things that were inflicted emotionally, and it can be catastrophic, as if it had been a physical act. The thing about being victimized that way is that you make excuses for yourself to deal with such trauma. You may not even be aware of how it has shaped your life. I'm happy to hear from your podcast and others that awareness is the first step to recovery. I was a victim of a random situation that caused me duress for many years. But because I was never really touched physically, I just put it in that deep secret drawer in my brain where painful events are stored but never erased. My story starts when I was 12 and just starting junior high school. An exciting time, and yet a little scary. I lived across the street from my elementary school, but the junior high was going to be a bit far, and my mother was not present, nor did she drive. There was no school bus that came that far, and most kids in my neighborhood went to private schools, so I could not share a ride with anyone. I had the option of public transportation, but I chose instead to keep the money for lunch. The walk was in a neighborhood area for the most part, but there was a bit of a walk on a busy highway. Overall, it was safe as long as I did not jaywalk across the busy highway. Up until this point in my life, I had not really had anywhere to go this far, so it would be my first experience walking far away from home and alone. A few weeks in, as the walk got easier, I noticed that one of the houses I walked by, there was always a man standing at the window in what seemed to be his living room. The man was tall, fat, and old, or at least looking through the lens of a 12-year-old, that's what it seemed like to me. At first, I just saw him standing there. I was not sure if he was looking at me or just out the window, but I began to notice he was there every time I walked by. All the other home windows were closed by curtains. I had little guardianship growing up, so I was pretty streetwise and cautious. So I kept a mental picture of the situation, such as, was he there all the time I passed by? I even memorized that it was the fifth house from the start of the walk. The man never said anything, or gestured to me, or even acted as if he was looking at me. But still, I was aware and thought it was weird. A few weeks after me noticing that he was always there, he began to show up at the window in a robe instead of his regular pants and shirt. And shortly thereafter, he exposed himself to me. I was 12. I was not brought up with any men in my life. It was just my mom, who was not present for most of my life, my older sister, who was my only guardian. She was 16, and my younger sister was 3 years younger than me. I do not remember being scared. I was just a little freaked out, but I kept on walking and tried not to look at him. This went on for a few weeks until he finally showed up at the window completely naked. This reminds me now of episodes from the sitcom Friends and Ugly Naked Guy. This did frighten me a bit, and I remember running when I saw him nude. I wanted to tell somebody, but to be honest, I had no one to talk to about such things. I did not want to walk by there anymore, but outside of an alley, I had no other way to get to school. So I made sure that before I walked by his house, I was prepared to run as fast as I could until I got to the end of the street and felt safe. I truly, in my young mind, did not know what was going on or whether this was normal or not. I do remember losing sleep over it and feeling irritable, and I found it difficult to just be myself. I was always worried about having to go to school and facing the naked fat man. One day, I was going to school and I noticed there were men fixing the sidewalk, so I had to take a detour and walk through the alley. The backyard of all the houses on the street faced the alley, so I figured there would be no window for him to stand by, so maybe he would not be there. The alley was otherwise safe, nice backyards as this was an upper middle class neighborhood. I felt safe, but I walked fast. I did not see Naked Fat Man. A sigh of relief. But either way, I kept looking over my shoulder, just in case he decided to venture out. One morning, as I made it out of the alley, I needed to cross a small, safe street to get to the neighborhood area where I felt safest and other kids were milling around on their way to school. I was about to cross when a car was approaching, so naturally I stopped. Yes, it was Fat Naked Man, with clothes on, but he was exposing himself to me with this nasty Grinch smile. This time, I was mortified and felt sick to my stomach and so afraid. But I kept my cool and ran around his car, noticing the color and that he had a scar on his face. I still had no one to talk to about this and was feeling desperate and more terrified. After that incident, I was terrified to walk down that alley because, although it was a nice alley, I was the only one walking it at this time of the morning. One morning, as I was walking fast, I heard behind me someone whistling. I wasn't sure what tune it was. Never been good about guessing tunes, but it was eerie and I was so scared to look back. The whistling was far away, but it was behind me, so when I got to the alley and was ready to cross the street to safety, I looked back. It was him. He was dressed, but he might as well have been naked. I experienced incredible fear and started to hyperventilate. I made it to school, but could not focus on anything, and I felt I needed to do something. But what? I was much of a loner at school, and I did not have anyone to confide in. This went on for a few days, the same thing, daily, but the whistling got closer, and I would find myself running most of the way down that alley. Finally, one day I developed an asthma attack, or that's what the school nurse called it. She asked if she could call my mom, but my mom worked, and she did not drive or speak English, so I was sent to the ER. I do not know how they dealt with the parental consent for treating me. All I know is that I got medication and had several attacks afterwards. I finally decided I had to do something. So I went to the principal's office and told him what I had been going through. I started to cry and I started to wheeze. The police were called. I remember being asked so many questions, and I remember details about his car and his house, even the color of his robe and his funky scar on his face. I do not remember what all happened. I do know that I never saw Naked Fat Man again. I suppose they took me seriously. My mom was skeptical, but I was used to that. Years went by, and I never thought about it again until one day in my adult life. I was now a nurse working in the ER. A new employee, an emergency medical tech EMT, started to work with me on the night shift. Jane, not her real name, was sweet, hardworking, and we got along great. Jane loved to whistle while she worked. Yep. You know where I'm going with this. After a few days, as she was cleaning up after a messy trauma case, she began to whistle a tune. I stopped in my tracks as chills and this deep, unexplained fear raced through my spine. I was rendered frozen in place as I started to hyperventilate. I did not connect the whistling to this feeling. I thought I was having some sort of medical event. Jane approached me and said I looked like a ghost as she helped me to a chair. We took my blood sugar, and as I regained my normal state, I just figured I was getting the flu everyone had. A few days later, it happened again. Only this time, I recognized the whistling tune, and it all came back like an avalanche. I started to remember that long-ago time with Fat Naked Man, and soon realized this was a deep-seated trauma. Eventually, I told Jane. She was sympathetic and promised not to whistle. I realized that it was a trauma I had not faced and needed to talk about. Now that I had people around me that cared. So yes, victimization comes in many forms, and we should not be ashamed to face our deep-seated pain. I still get chills when I hear someone whistling a tune, but I'm able to stop and make it go away. I do not have a clue what happened to Fat Naked Man. I can assume, or at least hope, they have removed his whistle. Thank you for hearing me out. Grace, aka Nurse Betty.
Oh, Grace, my heart breaks for you. 12 years old. No 12-year-old should have to go through what you went through. I'm so sorry you didn't have someone that you could go talk to. And it's so brave that you finally did go and talk to the principal.
Mm-hmm.
For a 12-year-old to, like, having dealt with this for weeks – and then you finally are able to talk to an adult. As soon as I was reading this and you said he was at the window, I was like, It's just a matter of time before he shows up there naked.
Yeah, and starts, you know, following her outside. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you start going, oh, look, she passes by every day. But what a smart thing for you to make note of his scar on his face, make note of the color of his car, of details like that. So they know, you know I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. So I'm glad that the principal took it seriously as well, because, you know, back then they did not always take reports like this seriously. Yeah. But I echo what Christy said. I'm sorry there was nobody to protect you, but you did well. Not just taking care of yourself, but now becoming a person that takes care of other people. And that's a huge gift you give.
Absolutely. And yeah, you are so smart and brave to be able to memorize all those details that helped, hopefully, got him apprehended. And now he's just rotting somewhere with that fat, naked body of his.
Bury him whistle down and pour cement on top of it. But bless you for all you do taking care of people, Grace. Thank you. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This next one is from M, and the subject line is, my sense of security was ruined by a man. Hey, spooky bitches, longtime listener, not first-time submitter. I've sent in a few anonymously and a few with my name. That's not important. What's important is the story I'm about to share. That's right, my sense of security was ruined by a man, to the point I had to have my husband go with me to get the mail today. So, here's what happened. There I was, titties flapping under my oversized t-shirt as I brought in our garbage and recycling for the next morning. I was in my pajamas as I was planning to wind down for the night inside my own home, and I was not planning what happened next. As I was about to turn and go back down my driveway, a man approached me. He was about my age, late 20s, early 30s, slightly taller than me, and was dressed casually with a laminated info guide on what he was selling. Mama didn't raise a rude bitch, so I stood and listened to his spiel, fully intending on declining, but politely. And ladies, I tried. I started with, I'd like to talk to my husband about it, because A, men are only respect other men, and B, because we probably could use what he was selling, pest control, but I didn't want to make that choice on my own. My husband and I are a team. We talk things through before deciding on things that impact our home and our baby boy Gecko. The man said, are you able to call him? I had mentioned my husband would be home within the hour, which was true, but I was also trying to buy time. Strike one. No, I lied. He doesn't like to talk on the phone while he's driving. He then proceeded to probe as to what I thought my husband would disagree with. Was it price? The service? I thought, I don't know, my man. I haven't talked to him yet, have I? I told him the price because, honestly, that's what keeps us from doing a lot of things we should. He gave a discount on the first service, but the other services were going to be over $200 quarterly. I kept trying to tell him we needed to decide later. He wasn't having it. Can I put you down for tomorrow between 12 and 2? The technician will text you when he's on the way, he asked, to which I thought, I can just text back the tech and cancel then? When I asked about this, he said, yeah, I guess, but it's commissions based and I wouldn't get paid. Strike two. Way to tug on the old heartstrings, my guy. I decided, fine, we would have the service and then cancel it after paying the one time because of the solicitation law, what he said anyway, that stated I could cancel within 72 hours. So I gave him the information he needed to schedule. My name, phone number, email. He already had my address because we were standing on the edge of my driveway. Then he showed me the contract that specified giving them 12 months or pay about $300. Definitely would need to cancel within 3 days. He needed a card, so I went inside to get one, debating on leaving him outside. But then he would come knock on my door. I went round and round on what card to give. Things are so tight with the cost of living inflating. There's car payments, credit card payments, therapy, thank God for that right now, groceries, I pay over $200 pretty much every time I go shopping and it never feels like we have what we need, gas, don't get me started on that, electric, water, the list goes on. Finally, I decided I would be straight and tell him we just can't afford it. But being the people pleaser I was, I did slip my card into my pocket. I went out, told him my very true sob story, thinking he'd finally let me go. Nope, strike three. Thankfully, my husband pulled up. I scurried my short wearing ass back up the driveway to meet him and give him the rundown of this fiasco I've created because I can't tell someone no for some reason. I will definitely be discussing that in therapy. I talked to him about the deal we landed on giving it a shot, probably. So, my husband pulled in, heard the guy out, And the next thing I knew, we were talking to their sales support team that went back over the contract and my details, and we took a selfie. A selfie. Remember, I'm in an oversized t-shirt, free-tittied, and short shorts. Now there's a picture of me, my husband, and this guy on his phone and mine. I spent the rest of the night absolutely spiraling about what I was going to do. How was I going to afford to pay $200 quarterly? Thank God for my practical husband who agreed we should cancel in the morning when their lines opened and I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. I still did because, hello, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. But I did start to feel better. The next morning, my husband called to cancel and I got the cancellation email. Thank fuck. That's the end of that, right? Nope. Someone came by later that day, knocking on our door and ringing our doorbell. My husband said to ignore him and he'll get the message. We did, but I had my husband come out to get the mail with me. There was no sign of him on our street. Surely that was that, right? Still, no. I was on my couch unboxing a subscription box when someone knocked again. I practically crawled off my couch around the back part of my house and into our bedroom where my husband was getting ready to leave for an appointment. Finally, I'd had it and purchased a no soliciting sign because I can't be trusted to say no because these guys can't take a hint. And I wrote a no soliciting index card sign I taped to my door, which will now be immortalized on the UPS database because I had something delivered and the driver took a "we delivered your package here" picture. I use humor to disguise my discomfort. So all of this to say is I don't feel comfortable existing on my property outside my home now. The guy mentioned April 1st is the start of the season and we would have many guys trying to sign us up for pest control. I don't want to be approached. I don't want to be talked to. I get you have to make that bread, but when someone's clearly not interested and fucking uncomfortable standing outside in her pajamas, walk away. Don't keep pushing. Don't harass people when they've canceled. I need to learn to say no more forcefully, too. Just tell people to fuck off. But I also couldn't get the image out of my head that he would follow me to my door and wait outside my house. Now I'm going to have to look both ways when I get the mail, bring out my garbage and recycling to the curb. I probably won't garden anymore, and I certainly won't be walking around my neighborhood for exercise. We loved it here when we moved in. Nice house, no HOA, neighborhood watch, kind neighbors, but now it's tainted. This guy knows where I live, which means so does the company. I can block his number, not that he's tried to contact me, but they may keep showing up. I don't think a sign will stop them, but I have to control what I can control or I'll lose my fucking mind. Thanks for listening to my story. I wanted to share it because I know you ladies would understand, and maybe there's another victim of aggressive sales tactics out there who needs to know they're not alone. Keep it creepy, but not so creepy. You approach a woman in nearly her skivvies, clearly not interested, but you push and harass her when she cancels because life is too expensive for this shit. Okay, bye.
Dude, I had a guy come to the door the other day, and I answered it, and he was like, "Hi, ma'am. How you doing?" I said, "I'm good. How are you?" "Good." And then I said, "I'm going to save you the trouble because we're good." And he said, "Okay, thanks." And I said, "Thank you." And I shut the door and locked it and went back to what I was doing. It's like if you give a mouse a cookie. If you give them an inch and they think you are interested, it is harassment. Like, you can't get rid of them. They'll call you for weeks. They'll show back up.
Some we had climbed this guy on my roof.
Yes, we had a guy trying to do pest control or something like that. That Tommy just kind of offhandedly was like, "Oh yeah, well, I'll think about it." That guy came back like every day for 3 days.
No, yeah, you can't even like soft. I do the same thing as you. I usually answer with my chain because I have a chain, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to come out here?" And I'm like, "No, I have really vicious dogs," which is true. I mean, Lucy is very vicious. Is she a 15-year-old Chihuahua with no teeth? Yeah, certainly, but she's vicious. But I was like, "I have vicious dogs. I can't open the door." Well, I just know if I was selling you, I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't do transactions at the door, but I thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day." Mm-hmm. Like, I hope you like. I just don't do that. Like, I just don't do stuff at the door. Full stop.
And unfortunately, she was contacted in her driveway.
You got knocked in your driveway, dog.
Do you know how many times I've been like, "I got to get the mail. I don't have a bra on. Okay, I'm doing it.
Let me just run."
And then I'm like, if I was then approached by someone, worst nightmare, especially to then have to stand there and have like a lengthy conversation while I'm like, my ass is hanging out and my titties are hanging out.
And let's take a selfie. Fuck you.
Also, it's nighttime. Why are you here?
Get out of my yard. What is happening?
I hate it so much.
No, I'm so sorry. I don't want you to feel like you can't garden. You can go outside. Just get what company he works for. You know, you have the name of the company that he works for and stuff. And it sounds like hopefully, you know, it was just, he's probably just like another one bites the dust. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just on to the next one. I wouldn't think he's going to like, you know, you guys weren't rude enough to have him like come back or anything like that. I think you're fine. But yeah, my thing's just always like short and sweet. And it's like when people try to hand me stuff in mm-hmm. the mall or nothing, I just go, I don't like to be handed things. That's not a thing that you can answer. People are like, oh, did you want this? I said, I don't like to be handed things. And I keep my hands clasped.
Yeah.
Say, oh, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
Bow. I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you. But no.
Usually I just say, no, thanks. I'm good.
Thanks.
If I'm approached thanks. Where I'm like outside, yeah, that does get very uncomfortable. I also agree, though, that I hope you don't let this prevent you from enjoying your neighborhood still.
Garden. Yeah, go for a walk.
He said it himself. Well, we work on commission, and that's why they're so aggressive with their tactics. But, you know, I want everyone to practice just saying no.
No, thank you.
And that's it.
Yeah,
no is a complete sentence.
Yeah.
And if he's like, well, what do you think? What I don't want it. No. Goodbye.
No. If do you want a bunch of bugs in like, your house? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I like
have
it.
Your hand on your phone in case mm-hmm. you need to dial 911. But, you know, there's a lot of power that comes from just saying no.
No, that's not for me.
Yeah, not having to explain yourself. And it's hard to do it first.
It's extremely
hard. You have to kind of practice. Practice with yourself in the mirror first.
No, it's true. When you get to that point where you can just kindly, calmly, and plainly state like, no, that doesn't work for me. Thank you. No, I won't be doing that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of times my teacher in high school was like, if you give people excuses, like they're going to try to get around your excuses. Mm-hmm. But if you just tell them like your true feelings and the true situation of it, there's not really any arguing with that. And like, think he could not like the answer, but like there's another house in the block, brother. Like
yeah.
go on down. It ain't gonna be me.
Like, I mean, and you did that exact thing. You're like, oh, I want to talk to my husband. What do you think your husband? So the more information, like you said, they'll just start to like pick it apart.
Mm-mm.
Just no thanks. We don't need that right now. Bye-bye.
Someone knocked on back when I lived in the cage house where I had like a huge mm-hmm. like burglar cage. Someone came to the cage and I opened the door and they were like, hey, I just want to invite you. They said they wanted to invite me to some like church thing. And they said, I just want to know what religion you are really quick, which is a crazy thing to just knock on, like ring somebody's doorbell and ask that. And I said, magic. And they were like, what? And I said, just magic and sorcery, like the wizarding world of Harry Potter, which is not true, but it was the first thing that came to mind or whatever. And they were like, oh, and I was like, Avada Kedavra, just close the door. It's like, just, I mean, you know, you can't tell I'm kidding around. And I was just joking. I was like, magic? Like, no, I'm clearly not going to go. But it was like, why don't you just tell me, you know, what do you believe and study? It's like, I'm not letting you in my cage.
You don't
cage.
Owe anybody anything.
I don't owe you anything. That's why I was like, if you can't tell I'm kidding because I told you a children's book, then we've got nothing to speak about. Like, have a nice day and a blessed day to you.
And I don't like people being that aggressive.
It was just like, what do you believe? I was like, what?
That's crazy.
You knocked on my door, man.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
What do you believe?
Yeah. I believe you're going to get the fuck off of my porch. It's what's been happening.
I believe
next.
The cops are about to get called.
Yeah. I believe I have bear mace that's about to get sprayed out here. Oh, well, bless your heart. I feel like, Em, you'll be all right. I think enjoy your gardening and just keep some shears out with you. And if he comes at mm-hmm. you again, just hold him open with you and go, what was that? I can't hear you. Chop, chop, chop. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
All right. Well, this final one is from Michelle, and the subject line is Lost Necklace Glitch in the Matrix. Hi, ladies. As always, all the best accolades to you two. My story reminds me a bit of the missing onion story from several years ago. I'll jump right in. I believe it was 2015 that my then boyfriend gifted me a beautiful necklace, which I wore often. Sometime in the next couple of years, I sadly lost it. I made a couple of moves during this time, and I hoped it would turn up while packing or unpacking, but unfortunately, it was gone. In February of this year, my dad unexpectedly passed away. My parents had been divorced for many years, so I had to fly back in March for his celebration of life and to help with going through his belongings in preparation of selling the house. When I was there, I opened one of the guest bathroom drawers, and there was my missing necklace. I had never lent my necklace to anyone, and I didn't even live in the same city as my dad at the time that the necklace was gifted to me, or when it went missing. I later moved out of state, long after the necklace went missing. I have no explanation how my necklace ended up at my dad's house. What do you think happened? The end.
I'm glad we're bringing the end back. Thank you,
I like it.
Michelle. I don't have an explanation. What do I think happened? I mean, my rational part of my brain is like somehow it got lost in something that got packed up that got moved over the years. But you know what? We live in a timeline where a leprechaun could have taken it and just put it in your dad's drawer and you were going to find it later.
There's a wormhole between your bathroom drawer and your dad's guest bathroom drawer. No, true. I mean, the idea of like, we were just talking about the lost onion story at Houston. I was talking to our friend Lydia, friend of the show, and she was talking about, I had this necklace and I couldn't find it. And I said, we did. Multiple people have written in about earrings and the onion I mentioned. And I said, so maybe in like, it's not going to help you now because you've lost your necklace on this trip. But I said, maybe in like 5 years, you'll like move to a different country and right? be like, there's my necklace.
And it's just like on your bed when you come home.
It's just sitting there waiting for you. So I don't know. I can't explain it, but I would be interested. I know we've got a lot of smart people that listen to this show. So if you're like a physicist or you know about particles or quantum, any of that, write on in and tell us where
portals.
These onions. Yeah. I need to know where the onions are going.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that experience this, the earrings, the necklace, the food, all of that. So what does happen?
Who's to say?
Does it fall into another dimension?
Nobody knows.
I don't know. I don't have any answers for anything anymore.
And if you do have an answer, then the government will come and snatch you and kill you. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Stay tuned for our upcoming episodes that have all to do with that.
Because I'm like, if you're a scientist that knows how this works, write to us and we won't tell anybody
who you are.
We'll keep you anonymous for sure.
You can stay anonymous.
But I don't know, Michelle. Maybe some of our listeners have an answer, but we appreciate you for writing that in.
Creepy, whatever way you look at it. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd keep that necklace close. It seems
magical.
Yeah, some sort of magical thing has happened with it.
It's charged.
Ooh, yeah, it does have a black stone, so perhaps that stone was charged in some way. Onyx, maybe?
I like it. That's how I ripped through the space-time continuum.
It did. Well, thank you, Michelle, and thank you to everybody for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You put in your email, you get immediate access to Sunday Scaries, all the backlog content of that, free content just for signing up, and you get an archived audio bonus content sent to you once a month. We've been on hiatus, but we are back and better than ever this Sunday, May 3rd at 8:30 p.m. Central.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer a free trial where you join for a week for free. Check out all the perks and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. As you're listening to this, we will have completed our bonus content live stream that we do quarterly. We let you guys choose. We did a total request live and you chose, and it was super fun. I bet we haven't done it yet, but we will do it momentarily. So we'll tell you about that, but you can watch the replay if you sign up for a free trial. So jump on that free trial, watch the replay, binge everything, and decide what tier you want to stick with, because you get so many things with all the tiers.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you all choose, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com, click on shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday and Sunday Scaries, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and
it's happening.
Tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through 12th. We're going back, and it's an even bigger ship with more creators. It's going to be the best time. We hope to see you there.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk. Book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to whatever. We would love to celebrate with you. Go to www.cameo.com, the website. And starting May 4th through May 10th, we've got a special deal, $20 cameos for Mother's Day. So May 4th through the 10th, go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and make those mamas in your life so happy with a Sinisterhood cameo. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.